straight out of the heartland. A voice of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is the Jake Merrick Show. The new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning, Oklahoma, and you awakened Oklahoma Patriot. Good to be with you this morning, Wednesday, April 24th, and 7:03 a.m. Man, gotta love all the stuff to talk about across the globe, but we keep it focused right here. Local, all things local, everything Oklahoma. Let's get to those headlines.
Headlines from home with Jake Merrick on Freedom 96.9.
All right, we've got three headlines for you this morning. A controversial immigration bill. It passed the House and is headed to the Senate. Then we got the House also advancing legislation that allows law enforcement to boot squatters. And then we got the Oklahoma City Planning Commission voting on a new site for the city jail, the county jail in Dell City, and not without controversy there. So let's get to it. Headline number one, we got this controversial immigration bill passing the House. And I talked about this a few days ago. It's something, but some are saying it's not enough. But I want to take a look at the details since it has officially passed the House. This is House Bill 4156. The vote in the House was 77-20. Of course, this is put forth by House Speaker Charles McCall, and the author over in the Senate is Pro Tem Greg Treat. I said before that I expect, since the leadership of both the House and the Senate are the ones moving this bill, that it will move along quite nicely and make it to the governor's desk, where I expect he will also sign this bill. It will always be interesting to see if it arrives in the same original form, which I would expect it would, again, since leadership has authored this bill. But just to rehash some of the details on this, this bill would create a new crime called impermissible occupation. And this is for those willfully entering the state without legal authorization to be in the United States. The first offense is a misdemeanor punishable by 1 year in the county jail and a fine up to $500, or both. The person would be required to leave the state within 72 hours. And the second offense is a felony with up to 2 years in prison, a fine of up to $1,000, or both. Republicans, they said the law was necessary to protect public safety. And of course, they put the blame squarely where it deserves on Biden in the White House. So the Democrats, of course, they held the no votes on the issue. It looks like 20 of the nays came almost exclusively from the Democrats. I'm looking through there. I don't recognize any Republican names on there. So largely from the Democrat, the opposition came from the Democrats. And they said the measure was political, could result in profiling, would break up families, and result in job vacancies in critical areas. Now, it was interesting because I did speak to some business owners in the area, construction companies that will remain unnamed. And there's concern. There's concern about this bill because right now, according to a lot of construction workers, owners of construction companies, there is a struggle to find good help. And I think this is across the board, obviously, no matter what industry you're in. But especially in construction, when you're talking about physical labor, there seems to be a deficiency, go figure, in this generation of Americans, no matter the race, and their willingness to work without this cancer of entitlement. And there's a concern from those that have construction companies that if this bill does pass, what will it do to construction companies here in the state? Because, yeah, it's pretty widely known that a lot of companies have illegals working for them. I'd like to know your thoughts on that. When you look at what the need is versus what the damage that is being done in the state and in the country, you know, the issue that most people have is the criminals and the terrorists that are sneaking their way as well, right? However, we have to maintain also that we are a nation of laws, right? We're a nation of laws, and we have to enforce those laws and uphold those laws across the board. And we don't want to simply turn a blind eye or give free passes to some and not to others. That's where law comes in. It applies equally to all. So this, though, I've heard. I've discussed with some business owners I know that are concerned. And pretty much they're telling the crew, keep your head down. Yeah, I am thankful and proud to say that Merrick Customized Construction, our construction company, we do steel buildings, that we hire all legal, all 100% legal Americans. And so we have anything to worry with this bill, but I am interested. Anybody out there listening that might have a concern in this area, I'm bringing this up because I really want to hear some feedback from you, whether you are an owner of a construction company, or you know someone, or maybe you know someone here who is here illegally who works and is concerned. What would happen if this bill passed here in Oklahoma? I know that my position and the position of most of you out there listening is we have to do something. We can't just, like I said, turn a blind eye and let some in and deport others. I mean, if we're going to apply law, it has to be applied across the board. And the unfortunate thing about this is there's a lot of good people here who cross the border, who are working hard, providing for their families. They just didn't go through the right legal loops and hoops. And so it's important, though. It's important. Give me your thoughts on that. I'd like to know your thoughts on this particular bill, House Bill 4156. I did check with my former colleagues up at the Senate, and they said they do expect to hear this bill. So I expect this to pass. You know, part of the criticism on this bill from those on the right is that it really has no teeth. You're saying the first offense is a misdemeanor, punishable by 1 year in the county jail and a fine up to $500. Okay, if they're here illegally, do you think that they're going to willfully pay this $500 fine? Do you think that they're going to willfully leave the state within 72 hours? It seems very soft. If you're trying to actually do something about illegal immigration in the state, this seems very soft. It seems like more of a tip of the hat in that direction, but no actual ability to enforce this. So if you're telling them, hey, you're here illegally, but you have to leave, I doubt they're going to just uproot and leave. They're going to try to avoid being deported at all cost. So that is the biggest criticism I'm hearing about this bill. Like I said, some are saying it's strictly political. I don't expect any Republicans to oppose this, and I wouldn't either. I say this is at least a step in the right direction, but I think that it is overall a pretty weak bill. Headline number two, going to look at this issue of squatting connected to illegal immigration, right? It's being talked about all over the nation. Of course, we've seen those TikTok videos from illegal immigrants sending messages back to those across the border saying, hey, this is what you do when you get across. This is the way you can occupy a home and stay there. So lawmakers recently, they advanced legislation that would allow law enforcement to immediately remove squatters at the request of a property owner. Supporters of this bill, this is Senate Bill 1994, will ensure property rights are protected. Critics argue that it is another legislative attempt to further criminalize homelessness. The bill requires that a sheriff be there to immediately boot an unlawful occupant, and a property owner must have first asked the person to leave the property. And also, property owners cannot ask a sheriff to remove the current or former tenants, anyone who used the property as their address of record within the past year, family members, or if litigation is pending. So those are some of the caveats to this, that the sheriff has some parameters he must work within. A person who damages a property while unlawfully occupying it would be sentenced up to 3 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Representative Ross Ford of Broken Arrow, he authored the legislation and said the bill has nothing to do with homelessness, but everything to do with property rights. It ensures the people who legally own a property have a say in what goes on. And, of course, those who oppose it say that it just seeks to criminalize homelessness. Representative Forrest Bennett, Democrat of Oklahoma City, said lawmakers are doing very little to address the root cause of the problem by investing in programs that could help solve the crisis. And he said this kind of legislation looks great on campaign mailers, legislation like Senate Bill 1994. He said the reality is it won't fix the problem. Well, I agree with the author of this that this is not necessarily about fixing the problem of homelessness, but this is about property rights. And if you are a homeowner and you have tenants, well, that is still your property, and that property right must be preserved. So I appreciate what they're doing here with Senate Bill 1994. Again, let me see, know your thoughts. Text it to me, 919-8679 or jake@freedom969.com. All right, going to wrap this headline up with headline number three. The Planning Commission, Oklahoma City Planning Commission, approves a jail site with conditions. And again, you're going to hear in just a little bit from the mayor of Dell City and Superintendent Rick Cobb of Middell Schools and Gina Standridge on the school board for Ward 3 in Dell City. And you're going to hear from them in studio talking about their perspective on choosing Dell City for this jail site. Of course, the location is 1901 East Grand Boulevard. It was approved. The location was approved by the City Planning Commission with a vote 5-2 in favor of a special permit to operate a jail at 1901 East Grand Boulevard. It has a stipulation, though, that inmates would not be released from that site, but would be transferred downtown to the Oklahoma County Courthouse for release. So you have that extra step required if indeed this jail site is approved. And we'll get the mayor's take on that in just a little bit. The chairman of the Planning Commission, Kamal Pennington, and Commissioner Mike Privet cast 2 no votes. The recommendation for approval will be heard by the city council in approximately 6 weeks. Again, we're going to hear from Mayor Floyd Eason in just a minute, along with Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb, to hear what they think about this. But there is a requirement that the city council approves the zoning for this. And so we'll see if this city council does approve the zoning. If they do not, this might be moot. This might be a non-issue and forced to choose another location. Of course, they're desperate to find a location before their ARPA funding expires. So the Oklahoma County Commissioners, they have a concern that the timeline might run out and they may lose $50 million in ARPA funding for a behavioral health center as part of the project. And so all of those funds, they must be encumbered by the end of 2024, this year, and spent by the end of 2026. And a second deadline involving $260 million in bond funding voters approved of for the new jail site is not far behind. So there's a lot of money hanging in the balance. If you listen to this show long enough, you know that I'm not a fan of ARPA funding in general. I voted in the Senate against all ARPA funding because it would only increase our national debt. And I don't want Oklahoma contributing to a growing out of control national debt. So I'm opposed to that. Wouldn't be upset if we lost that money. Don't think we should have taken it in the first place. Just my personal opinion. But I'd love to know what you think about this as well. Send it to me, jake@freedom969.com. Do you think that Dell City is a good site for the jail? Hey, you're about to hear from those right there in Dell City, their argument why they don't believe it is a good site. So we'll hear from them in just a second. I got to give a big shout out to McGuire Capital, helping you manage your finances, make the right investment in this critical financial time. So don't try to do it on your own. You know, I don't often say that, but Michael McGuire, man, I've sat with him, and he's helped me with my finances, so I know he can help you. So check him out. Go see him. McGuire Cap. That's McGuireCap.com. All right, got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Major Ed Polito for our Warrior Wednesday. You guys stay tuned on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Check it out, Freedom Traffic. Yukon to downtown, 26 minutes. Midwest City to downtown, 19 minutes. Norman to downtown, 27 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 22 minutes. Eastbound I-44 will be narrowed between Southwest 89th and 74th. That is for an ongoing project that should be completed by today. Just buckle up and drive careful. That is Freedom Traffic.
Unrest at home and around the world. Stay strong, stay informed by making the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com your first choice for talk radio in Oklahoma.
Q100.
QC Kinetics announces the arrival of National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Sheinkup, an acclaimed orthopedic surgeon with two decades of experience and extensive research in regenerative medicine.
But I was one of the first orthopedic surgeons to do it, and at the same time, I integrated clinical research that's resulted in several publications that are really directing the future of regenerative medicine. I was drawn to QC Kinetics after I reviewed their protocols, and everything they were doing is consistent with my own approach.
Today, Dr. Sheinkup leads the entire team of medical professionals at QC Kinetics, taking this exciting medical breakthrough to a whole new level.
What we are doing at QC Kinetics is transforming lives.
Get lasting joint pain relief. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation.
This is the future of medicine.
Call QC Kinetics, 405-900-PAIN. That's 405-900-PAIN. Locations in Oklahoma City and Edmond. 405-900-PAIN.
Hi, I'm Dustin, and this is Jasper. We're with Discount Garage Door. We've served Oklahoma for over 23 years, and we sincerely appreciate all of our customers for trusting us with all their garage door needs. Some out-of-state companies are trying to hit home runs on everyday jobs, so it's very important to find a company you can trust to get the job done right. At Discount Garage Door, we provide same-day service, no hidden fees, and a five-year warranty on all parts and labor. So give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Listen to Freedom 96.9 every day to stay up to date and informed. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. All things Oklahoma, right here on the Jake Merrick Show on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is Wednesday, so we have your Warrior Wednesday coming up. First, I want to remind you that we have our in-studio guests coming up. We have Mayor Floyd Eason of Dell City, Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb from Middell Schools, and Gina Standridge of Ward 3 on the Middell School Board here talking about this Oklahoma City jail controversy. So you're going to hear from them in just a minute. But first, let's get your Warrior Wednesday going.
This is Warrior Wednesday with Jake Merrick on Freedom 96.9.
Major Ed Polito.
Hey, I tell you what a great day to be an American, and glad to be on your show. And you know what? We've seen a lot of each other. That's always a good thing. You know?
It's always a good thing. Yes. I can't get enough of Major Ed.
Yeah. Empowering, man. Making things happen.
Yeah. The iron sharpening iron. It's a real thing. And so it's always good to be with like-minded people on the same journey.
That's right.
And, and I know you are, but speaking of journey, let's give the listeners just a brief overview of your journey. You're a veteran, obviously a major. Give everyone a recap of where you served, how long you served.
Yeah, well, you know, I always usually start out anything that I talk about, starting with my father, the motivation behind what we're all about here in this great nation. I will tell you that my father was a Colombian immigrant who came to this country. And basically thrived and was very successful. He taught us that, you know what, the value of not only living by our faith, loving this country as our new nation, but also inspiring and motivating one another as a family, Hispanic family living in America, and what that all looks like and what those contributions will entail as we, you know, develop our lives in the future. And the thing about it is that it was very inspiring to hear him talk at a young age and really develop into what I call, you know, the adulthood side of the house for me, where I joined the United States Army at age 17, took the oath of office. I always tell people this actually is a funny story. My father's the type of dad that, you know what, in December, I remember he would come and he would get us all together, you know, and right before Christmas dinner, and he'd ask us, you know, what we're going to be doing. Specifically, it was my turn because I was ready to start, you know, college. And he asked me what I was going to do, and I basically told him, you know, I'm going to go to college, play baseball, have a great time, or play sports, whatever it may be. And you know what? He said, yeah, but by the way, you also have a appointment with the United States Army recruiter on January 6th. So January 6th is like a pretty important day for me. So glad that, that, you know, the leaders in Washington, D.C. decided to make that a bad day. But it ain't a bad day for me. It's when I basically understood that I needed to, you know what, and involve myself in taking the oath of office at some point. And that happened in February of 1985.
Now, was that a Was that a requirement from your father? It's like, hey, were you going to enlist? Did he require you to enlist or go check it out?
No, it was check it out and you're going to go enlist. And that's what's so powerful about it. You know what? Parents don't do that these days like that. But my dad told us, here's what you're going to do. Here's your roadmap to success. I'll tell you, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm just honored and grateful that, you know, I had a father that really knew the direction that, you know, my life needed to go into. And so for me, you know, I embarked in that, of course, was in the reserves and the National Guard early in my life. And then was going to college. It was actually a really good thing because I was getting paid. I was actually able to pay for a car payment and really kind of make my life what it was all about at that time, where people didn't have a lot of money in their pockets, you know, and going to college. I actually had a really nice thing going on. And then, of course, I get an ROTC scholarship and everything just kind of fell into place. And that to me was the inspiration behind service to this country. And, you know, of course, you know, really my story starts on August 17th of 04 when I hit the roadside bomb. But all of that said, I always have to put it in perspective. Like, how did I get there? And that's how I got there. And all of us have a story to tell. And that's what's so powerful about America is that, you know what, we need to tell our stories. And to the young people out there, we need to tell a story of, you know what, how did you become who you are today? And success is what it was all about, because that's what my dad would always preach. You know what? We're a successful nation, but we're also successful people, and you have to contribute. There's no takers in this game. You know what? If you're a taker, what's going to happen is that you're going to take, and there's nothing to give to anyone else anymore, you know? Yeah. So at some point, you've got to be a contributor, and that's the passion and the direction that your life will go into. And you know what? That's why I'm here today, you know, because I'm passionate about what I do, but I also understand that I have to contribute to the greater good.
You know, I've got to ask, Major, being a son of an immigrant, and what's on the mind of everybody right now is the southern border and the flood of immigrants who are seeking that better life, and many of them good people, you know, fathers wanting a better life for their children and their family. And, of course, that's mixed in with criminals and mixed in with drug traffickers and human traffickers. And, you know, my heart goes out to those honest families who are just looking for a better life, like your father sought for you. And, of course, you guys came over here legally and reaped the benefits of that. Just love your perspective on the border.
Well, I will tell you that my parents are not in favor of what's been going on down there. My mom's Puerto Rican, my dad's Colombian, and they don't like the fact that it's a disrespect to this country. Right. I don't know what other country you just let people in like that. And look, God bless them. I'm compassionate. I'm empathetic. But there's one thing that you're going to find about me is that, you know what, at the end of the day, you don't just go showing up in somebody's doorstep and think that you're going to come in and eat their food and take care of all their, you know, take care of things in the house and just roll over things like that. That's just not how it works. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone, but I'm not going to offend anyone, because I will tell you what, when you cross that border, you're basically on a legal, there's a legal issue there. And that is what everybody's kind of striving for and saying is that, you know what, this election is about immigration. It's out of control. And the sad part about it is, like you said, there's criminals coming over. You don't know anyone that's coming over looks like. I mean, yeah, you might see the outside, but you don't know what's going on in the inside. And I have an empathy and a compassion for the people. I want them to thrive. I want them to be successful. We need immigrants. But the first thing I would do, and everybody says, well, what's the solution? I'll tell you the solution. First thing I would have done is I would have just stuck to the same policies that were on before, create some policies that really change the trajectory of immigration, and have a system where in these immigration states that have these issues, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, whichever states they are, Florida, that you have individuals there that are basically doing what we did in New York with the Italians, the Irish, and others that came to this country and had a way of accountability. That is what the American people are saying, man. If you really look at the dynamics, it's about accountability. You don't want some Venezuelan, God bless them, because my father's Colombian. That's right next to, you know, Colombia's right next to Venezuela. So what you don't want is just individuals coming here and there's no documentation, and then you just set them free. And what's happening is that we're seeing a lot of the people, and I feel for law enforcement. I have a cousin who is a border agent, supervisory type, and you know, they've told me stories of these people running and high-speed chases and the crime that's going on in these smaller towns and just the fact that the resources aren't there to provide support. Again, you can't just let that happen. And I think when you really look at what happened here, if you don't look at it from a political perspective of what, because there's no other way to look at it. Give me a conclusive argument on saying that what is going on down there is okay. The fentanyl crisis, the drug cartels making huge amounts of money, the young children being raped and pilfered, adults, same thing, and being taken advantage. I just feel sorry for those individuals. On the other hand, I don't like the fact that I'm seeing men coming across the border from all of these other countries and there's no documentation. At some point, I hope we don't get attacked because, you know what, this country has done so much to, you know, have IDs. When you go through the airport, you have to have a certain, you know, there's certain guidelines that you have to meet. And for these individuals to just come over and there's none of those guidelines and those effects, why are we even protecting anybody on an airplane then? Because if you don't think that this is unsafe too, and if you're going to do things like this, then you know what? Across the board, have some consistency. And that's the problem that we have, very inconsistent policies. And you know what? Biden is in charge, and this is his problem.
Well, it's just so clear that there's an agenda, and I believe it's connected to the election, and we can go on and on about that. Let's plan on doing this again. We'll dig a little bit deeper into your foundation, your philanthropic work. I think that's such a good emphasis as well.
All right. Well, let's do it. And hey, congratulations on your show, and keep up the good work, and hoorah.
Hoorah. Thank you, sir.
All right. We always love to hear from Major Ed Pulido, such a warrior in his own right and a great representation of the best of Oklahoma. And so appreciate him and his perspective, especially on illegal immigration. I want to give a big shout out to Modus Health, helping you get aligned. I say it all the time. They've helped my family out, especially my wife. She goes there. She leaves a new person every time. And so I highly recommend what they do, connecting the whole body, helping you get whole and healthy. Check them out, ModusHealth.com. That's ModusHealth.com. You guys stay tuned. We're going to hear from the mayor of Del City coming up after the break right here on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The issue of abortion is back before the Supreme Court. Later this morning, justices will hear arguments about Idaho's law that bans abortion at all stages of pregnancy with limited exceptions. The Senate last night approved a $95 billion foreign aid package and will be sending it to the White House for President Biden to sign today. The bill includes a big boost of U.S. assistance for Ukraine. The legislation also would force TikTok's Chinese owners to sell their stake within a year. Standoffs between pro-Palestinian student protesters and universities remain tense from coast to coast. Hundreds encamped at Columbia University in New York faced a deadline from the administration to clear out, but they haven't. Dozens remained barricaded inside two buildings on a Northern California college campus. This is SRN News.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
And now the weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. A cloudy start to what's going to be a wet afternoon with showers and storms hitting a high of 72. They'll linger overnight, 61, and those could be on the stronger side. Now tomorrow we're expecting the heaviest and gusty storms even stronger into that severe mode Friday and Saturday. We're looking at flooding downpours, hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jeff Nordine.
The new 96.9, we're letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. That means you'll hear us from Edmond to Enid, from Stillwater to El Reno, and from Yukon to Guthrie. More power means more towns in Oklahoma. Stay informed about issues that shape us here at home and from around the globe. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
The Indian Motorcycle Factory Demo Truck is coming back to Indian Motorcycles of Oklahoma City May 14th and 15th from 10 to 3. It's your chance to come test drive the all-new Indian Motorcycle models, including the 2025 Scout, back-to-back, and find your dream bike. Located in the beautiful Automobile Alley area of downtown Oklahoma City at 7 Northeast 10th Street, contact us today, schedule a test ride, or just stop in on the 14th or 15th. Helmets and proper riding attire as well as motorcycle endorsement is required to ride. We'll see you then.
Did you know that Enid Insurance Agency can get you coverage for accidents, theft, and even roadside assistance? Plus, they offer flexible payment options to fit your budget. New car, old car, pride and joy? Protect it with Enid Insurance Agency. Don't wait until it's too late. Let Enid Insurance Agency take care of you now. Get a quote and start your journey with confidence on the road. Enid Insurance Agency, protecting your new car with your peace of mind. Call today, 580-234-9548. 580-234-9548.
The Showplace Theater is the best place for live music.
And with some of the best acts around, like Andrew Schultz, June 14th.
Dang, but I know it's white woman rage. There's a problem that has nothing to do with me. I need to solve it.
Gabriel Iglesias, July 20th.
You know, what if someone tries to kidnap you?
Well, they're going to earn it.
Walker Hayes, July 27th.
Fancy like Applebee's on a date.
And Ashley McBride, August 24th. Riverwind, the Metro's best casino experience.
Get ready to bid. Over 500 cattle will be sold this Friday at Express Ranches in Yukon. This sale will feature 160 Angus and Hereford bulls, spring pairs, and fall bred cows and heifers, including 100 commercial Angus fall bred heifers. Express Ranches grass time sale will be this Friday at noon at the ranch. You can bid in person or online. View the catalog, videos, and sort the cattle at expressranches.com. You don't want to miss this offering. Over 500 cattle. The Express Ranches grass time sale in Yukon this Friday at noon.
Reminding you that you are government. The Jake Merrick Show. The new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show, 7:35 a.m. And like I said before, we're going to discuss the issue of the jail. It's been obviously on the radar for so many in the Oklahoma City area, trying to find a location for it. This thing has been a dilemma for many, and we're running out of time, according to officials. And so I got three in studio with me today that are going to talk about it. We got Gina Standridge, Middell School Board, Ward 3. We got Mayor Floyd Eason of Dell City and Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb of Middell Schools. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming in to give your perspective on this, because I believe I'm correct in saying it's the position of Dell City and Middell Schools that you resoundingly reject this idea of bringing the jail to Dell City. Is that correct?
Correct.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. We don't need the security breach and the aggravation to our citizens. This is just 600 feet from our city limits, and we've got over 1,000 homes within a mile radius of this jail, and it's a very densely populated area right in the heart of Dell City. Would you want this in the heart of your neighborhood?
Exactly. I think if you asked most people, that would be the response. I know I wouldn't want my house or my school near a jail, but then it prompts the question of, are we going to defer this to someone else's house and someone else's school? And is there any good setting and environment for a jail and possibly a mental hospital to go with it? Mayor, this is Mayor Floyd Eason that you're hearing from right now. What is your primary concern when you think about the proposition of this jail coming to your city?
My primary concern is the safety of the citizens of Dell City. You know, in the presentation that the opposing attorneys were giving at the Oklahoma City Planning Commission, one of the specifications they noted for the jail that there was a high security area for the employees to park in. Why are they worried about the security of their employees parking by the jail? What about the people that live across the street? Are they going to provide high security parking for them? And they let a lot of these persons out right at the time the kids are going to school. They walk to school. We don't have school buses because it's a quiet neighborhood and they're close to the school. So that's the prime time for letting these guys out. It's when all the kids are going to school.
What do you mean when you say let them out?
When they release them from the jail. Dr. Cobb?
I'll jump in on that a little bit, too. So Epperly Heights Elementary is 1.1 miles from the jail location, depending on where you want to measure the boundary line exactly for it. And we have students who live right on Bryant. And so those students are going to be 600-700 feet away from the property line for the jail. And Epperly Heights being a neighborhood school, our students are walking to and from school. We have kindergarten, first grade students walking to and from school every day. We have Del City Middle School and Del City High School students who are catching buses at the times of day that they're going to school and coming home. They're walking around in that area as well. And again, as Mayor Easton said, if security of employee vehicles is a concern, then why not consider, why isn't the security of the nearby neighborhoods a big concern? And so as we've been talking at the county commissioner meetings going back to August, as we've been trying to get the city council and their delegates on the planning commission to listen to us, these are the points that we keep making over and over. But then we also keep hearing from advocates for the, you know, the people in the jail about all the services that their families need, that they need, legal services, mental health services, everything. And all of that stuff is already co-located at the current jail location. And so I don't think this is good for our community, but going to all of these meetings has opened my eyes a little bit just about the concerns that we all need to be having for the people that are going to be in jail and their families.
Thank you. It's Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb of Middell Schools. Are these schools in the required minimal distance from the jail? I mean, is there a violation there at all? What is that required distance from a school?
1,200 feet.
Yeah, it's 1,200 feet. No, our schools, I mean, by law, they're outside of that zone.
Yeah.
Still doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Honestly, I mean, my first thought of 1,200 feet is that's not very far.
It's not very far at all.
And especially
Crooked Oaks Sports Complex is 1,262.
Okay, on the outside fringe of it, huh?
Right. And if you look at the other schools that are in this area, there's a total of 10 schools between Crooked Oak, Middale, and two private schools that are within 2-3 minutes of that, which makes this site all the more not suitable because other sites have been put off the list because they had one school that was in 1.5 miles, but we've got 10.
Wow, 10 schools within 1.5 miles.
Well, some of them are just outside 1.5, but they're 2, 3, 4 minutes from that. Crooked Oak is 1.1. Epperly is 1.1.
I think Destiny Christian's 1.5 miles, but they took a busload of kids to one of the county commissioner meetings to share their concerns as well. And so it's not just us concerned about our public schools. I mean, we're concerned about the private schools in our community as well.
Yeah, Destiny, if you, because of the route you take, it's 2 minutes. And not only is it just we're worried about the schools, we're worried about a Reliant Living Center where a lot of our special needs population students go after high school, and a lot of them live there. Keep in mind, Reliant is 300 foot from where the jail location will be, and this is a special needs living facility. And so if we're worried about security of our workers, why not our most vulnerable population? And there's, you know, within 300-400 feet right next to Reliant is a daycare that houses 100 kids every day.
Wow.
700 foot, we have another daycare that houses another 75 or 80. So just right there within 300-400 foot, there's 300 vulnerable population that is going to be right there. Reliant can't lock their facility by law.
She just touched on what I was going to bring to light. Reliant, it's not legal for them to lock their doors. So not only do they have a vulnerable group of people that can't fit.
And these are the special needs students, you're saying?
Special needs.
Well, they're not. They're adults now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're adults now, and they live in this facility, you know, this home that services all their needs.
Right.
But they can't lock their doors by federal law. So you have a vulnerable population. They can't afford to hire more security. Plus, the people from Reliant, they'll take a lot of these students, a lot of these people on the hiking trails. Trosper Park is right up against this proposed location for the jail. Reliant uses these trails to take them out
exercise.
And walk and exercise, and that's going to put all that in jeopardy. You have people that can't fend for themselves. All of a sudden, they're going to have all these jail release persons. They release 100, 150, sometimes 200 people a day. Those people are going to be out there on the trails going from the jail to wherever they're going to.
And I just want to clarify, when you say release, you're saying actually release from the facility, not into a yard that's fenced. You're saying release from the jail.
They're leaving the jail. They've either been bailed out or served their time, whatever the case may be. But, yeah, you've got an exodus of 100 to 150 people on a daily basis, and they're going to be filtering. They're going to go to the closest place, which is our neighborhoods, our town. There's nothing else around there. Dale City's the only close place to go. That's a huge population filtering through your streets every day.
Yeah.
And if you look at the mental health facility they are proposing to build, you know, some of those people they say are not going to be people who are held at that time. It's supposed to be for everyone. So if that's true, then somebody at the mental health facility who decides they don't want to be there anymore can leave willingly. So that is another concern also.
The Oklahoma City Planning Commission made a point when they approved the permit for the jail to be there. They made a point of stressing the safety of the population around there. And they put a restriction on that they had to release the prisoners downtown. They couldn't release them at the jail site. We hope Oklahoma City Council will maintain that restriction on that site.
You're saying if indeed they do move forward with this and build on that site in Dell City, you would want that provision where they would still have to be released downtown rather than in your neighborhood?
Absolutely. We would not want them near our neighborhood. Now, even though they release them downtown, we still don't want the jail at that site. It's too close a proximity to our city, to our borders. But if they have to carry them downtown, if they make that the jail site, we want them to absolutely release them at the downtown courthouse, not in our neighborhood.
Would that same principle apply to the mental health facilities? I mean, would they be required to go downtown to release them as well? Or
that's pretty vague on that as to what they're going to do there.
Yeah, I haven't heard them say anything about that. But one of the concerns we have is that when you're released, you're released. There is no public transportation that goes down Grand Boulevard to that area.
No resources.
No resources at all. We've heard some of the developers talk about that they've talked to the city about putting a bus stop down there. Well, that's all well and good, but it's not there now. And, you know, when we say that something's going to happen in the future, you know, we voted on this bond to build a new county jail in 2022, and apparently we should have all been asking the questions, where are you going to put that thing? Because they didn't have a plan for that.
So they weren't clear.
So they can say, you're right, that's probably a better way to phrase it. I do think there was a plan for that. I do think that this was the plan all along. But I don't believe a lot of conspiracy theories, but that one's starting to stick. And I just feel like they haven't planned out how this is going to look. And there is no, it's not in Dell City, but it's adjacent to Dell City. There's nobody in Oklahoma City where this actually sits that is advocating for that part of the community. And in Oklahoma County, in Oklahoma City, I know there are more prosperous areas. There are more favored parts of the community. But Gina said at one of the county commissioners meetings, and I thought it was really powerful, that, you know, there may not be any mansions in this area, but our houses, our little houses right on Bryan Avenue in Dell City are somebody's mansion.
Absolutely. Here with Gina Standridge, Mid-Dell School Board, Ward 3, Mayor Floyd Easton with Dell City, and Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb, Mid-Dell Schools. Mayor, were you about to say something?
He was talking about the mansions. These are for some families, this is their largest investment. And to see the property values go down, the schools live off of the property values and the taxes.
Exactly.
This is going to hurt our school system, just the fact of having the property values go down.
How about any businesses? Are there any businesses nearby?
Not to speak of. There's some small mom and pop. There's a daycare center. There's several daycare centers where children are kept. But this is not an industrial section. As soon as you cross Bryant, it is totally residential. They're not taking that into consideration at all. They're acting like Bryant is the end of the map, the end of the world.
Hmm.
Lock Supply will be right next door to where the jail location is. And I have been in there, and I did speak with them. They're not real happy about it being.
You're saying will be. So they're planning on
building.
They're building there. So
they're already there. Just built a brand new supply facility. They will be surrounded. They will be right next door to the jail. The mental health will be on their other side.
Wow.
They're not happy about it at all.
I would imagine so. So tell me, who in Del City thinks this is a good idea?
I haven't seen anybody that is for the jail coming to Del City. Nobody is for it in Del City.
Most people want the jail to remain downtown where there are services for people who are in the jail, who are newly released, and can be serviced adequately.
And when we're out in the community, even in the Middell schools that are 10 miles away from Epperly Heights Elementary, when I go into those schools, they see this fight that we've been fighting, and they thank me for that. When I go to lunch at JT's Barbecue, people will come up to me and thank me for fighting for the community on the jail. And, you know, I try to go to lunch and be as anonymous as possible, and so I just want to eat some ribs. I would say the Del City community sees what we're doing in trying to fight this fight, and they appreciate it. And I think more and more people have gotten involved. And no, I haven't heard a single person from Del City say that they want the jail there. And even in Midwest City, again, Middell, it's all one school system. If property values do go down in Del City, and we have certain bond obligations that we have to pay off, that means, as a resident of Midwest City myself, that means that what I'm paying in taxes will have to go up to cover our bonds. And so everybody in our community, everybody in the Middell School District is impacted whether they live in Del City or not.
Our community in Del City has a lot of older population. I went to that area to speak with people, and I walked across one driveway, and it was an older lady in her 80s, and I realized I grew up with her son, and we were 800 feet from the jail location, and she's outlived her husband. She's there. She doesn't have the opportunity to just pick up and move in the last stages of her life. And we are wanting people to do this, I guess. You know, it's just not right. This location is one of the worst because of the impact it will have on the surrounding areas around it. They could have picked a better site. They had the choices to pick a better site, but they were so freely in the beginning giving up sites and taking them off because people would walk in and say, we don't want it. And whether they had money or whatever their rationale was, they just took them off. So now they're in a time crunch to just settle for what they've got. And I should mention, there are four alternative sites that they are testing, and any one of those would be better than what they've got at 1901 Grand.
Mayor?
Dr. Cobb was talking about the impact to Midwest City, and it was recognized through the Midwest City City Council. Matt Dukes, the mayor of Midwest City, helped with a proclamation that Midwest City supports Del City in their fight against the jail relocation. We've received aid from the mayors and the councils from other towns around Jones, Forest Park. The mayor of Forest Park, George Smith, came out and spoke at our last town hall meeting and was basically supporting us in our fight. So it's not just Del City. The whole eastern part of Oklahoma County is supporting us in this fight to not allow the jail there.
Right.
And the support we're getting from other communities and other people that don't even live in Del City is amazing.
Do you feel like your voice is being heard? I mean, does it feel like it's falling on deaf ears, or do you feel like you're making headway? I mean, who exactly are you protesting to? Who are you speaking to?
We're speaking to the county commissioners. That's who we're protesting. And yes, I feel like our voice is being heard because of all the support that's generated through the community. People are asking, where can we donate to fight this? They're willing to put their money where their mouth is. That's how you know the citizens are serious, when they're ready to get their pocketbook out and help fight this thing. And everybody that I have talked to has supported us in this battle. Everybody realizes it's a poor choice for a jail location. However, the county commissioners are not listening to their constituents. And that's why we want to go vocal. That's why I appreciate you inviting us out here today.
Absolutely.
And giving us a chance to air this. And we've got to keep the pressure on the commissioners. They're messing up. Eastern Oklahoma County is telling them they're messing up, and they're not paying us any attention.
Well, I believe it's important to hear both sides of the story, and so I really value your side, and I know the listeners do as well. I know they've got a lot of listeners in the Oklahoma City area who are hearing this and probably stand with you in this. What does that fight look like if they decide to push forward?
Well, I just want to say, you mentioned at the top, Jake, that you know they're running out of time in terms of getting this done, and it feels like that is the biggest reason. Other than if there was a plan all along to choose this site on Grand, that time is becoming one of the biggest reasons to get it done right now. Three times this site was voted off the list, and I think two of those were unanimous votes. And that means that one
time... Who voted it off the list?
The county commissioners.
Oh, really?
So all three county commissioners at one time have voted no to the site at Grand.
So what's influencing this? What's driving it to come back around?
That is a great question. And I can't, you know, to your question about the next part of the fight, I know Del City has some legal plans on that, and the mayor can talk about that better than I can. I just wanted to mention that time seems to be the biggest reason they're pushing so hard right now.
Right. They've had time. They've wasted time. They've let time go when they should have been testing properties that came through all along, so they had choices. They had backup. And they didn't do that. And the thing I want to add about 1901 Grand, it's one of the most expensive properties at over $5.4 million. There have been a lot of other sites that were in the millions, you know, so this site is one of the most expensive sites, you know, and if you look at the county assessors, it's listed at 1.4. So somebody does stand to make a lot of money here. I've questioned that all along. Is there something else going on?
Mayor, to you about the fight, what that looks like.
Yeah, you ask about the legalities and what's coming up. Initially, right now, we're pleading to the Oklahoma City Council to say no to zoning that for a jail. If they say no, that could end this site, and that is a best-case scenario. Worst-case scenario, if it is approved, that's when our legal team comes in. We've hired three different legal teams. We're going to approach this from, first, is it constitutional to allow the jail in this position next to a neighborhood? I won't give you all the legal details, but we have three different teams working on it. We're ready to spend the money. We'll go to the Supreme Court if we have to fight this thing. We are not going to sit down and take it. We will tie them up in court, and it will not be cheap, but we're not going to accept the jail on Grand Boulevard.
I guess just a couple more questions. What is the argument for this site? What are you hearing from the commissioners? I mean, I'm sure they're putting out some reasoning for why they think this is the site, the ideal site, because I'm sure they're not saying, well, it's just the last resort. So what is their argument?
I'm hearing that the land is level, and when they put their argument forth in front of the Planning Commission, they showed the map up to Bryant. They did not show anything east of Bryant where Del City is. And they're arguing that it's in an industrial section, it's sparsely populated, except for the 1,000 homes in Del City. They don't bring that up. But they're acting like it's in a poor, misused area, underdeveloped, and that's the picture they tried to paint in front of the Planning Commission. But we're sitting there saying the world doesn't end at Bryant. There's all these homes. That's right in the heart of Del City. And they're completely ignoring those homes and the citizens that live there.
And they do have a scorecard. I wish I would have brought it for you to look at. Some of the criteria for the jail going there is easy access. Is it easy to get in and out of? Is it close to a highway? Is there a sewer system close? Those kinds of things. Nowhere on the criteria does it say, are there schools? Are there neighborhoods? Are there hospitals, living centers, daycares? None of that. And they will say that Grand has scored highest. But the thing you have to remember is they didn't test all the properties they got. They've only tested two of them to go through this scorecard of theirs. So everything you're hearing is kind of misleading, because you can argue one of the eight criteria on any site they've got. You know, it's just basic necessities, sewer,
sure,
in and out. Any site could have passed that criteria, you know.
What is the next step here? What date are we looking at? Is there a vote coming up soon?
The next step is the Oklahoma City City Council. Gina, is that?
It's the 21st, Tuesday at 8:30.
We plan to attend.
The Oklahoma City Council, May 21st, you said?
Right. And we're hearing we have a lot of support there. We are hopeful that it will not pass there. And
this will be the vote on zoning, correct? And
correct.
So if that fails, then the issue is pretty much mute. And
it should come off the list if it fails there.
Right.
Now, one of the commissioners has said that he doesn't care what Oklahoma City says, that he's above the law or the county is above the city. I don't think that's true. We've had an attorney research that already, and it is not true. And we will go after them in court if they try to overrun Oklahoma City's ruling.
You know, he's trying to cause chaos by saying they don't have to follow procedures that have been in place for decades of you buy property, you want to build on it, you've got to get it zoned, you've got to do all these things. He's saying that they're sovereign, that they can just bypass all of that. Well, that's setting a not very good precedent because then they use it, I want to use it. It's my property, I can do anything I want on my property. You know, so he's setting chaos to ensue if we don't have to follow guidelines that have been in place for years and years.
Guys, I so appreciate your time this morning. I think you lay out a great argument, and it seems like you have support from the city and the surrounding areas. So I'm looking forward to see how this plays out. And, of course, our prayers are with you as you you fight this fight. I know a lot of lives will be impacted. Again, here with Gina Standridge, Middell School Board, Ward 3, Mayor Floyd Easton of Dell City, and Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb of Middell Schools. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
us.
All right, stay tuned. We got more to come after the break.
Freedom. Traffic. We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom Traffic Yukon to downtown 26 minutes, Midwest City to downtown 19 minutes, Norman to downtown 27 minutes, Edmond to downtown 22 minutes. Eastbound I-44 will be narrowed between Southwest 89th and 74th. That is for an ongoing project that should be completed by today. Just buckle up and drive careful. That is Freedom Traffic.
The fight for the soul of America happens this November. Make the right choice and keep tuned to the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com, your first choice for talk radio in Oklahoma.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Psalms 33:12. Hey, y'all, it's Austin from Cops Gun Shop. The world is on fire and the media is insulting our intelligence, but that's been going on for years. It's pretty amazing when you break it down. Anyway, I digress. If you want to talk politics, come to the shop. Let's talk about guns. Did you know Cops Gun Shop is the best shop in town? Did you know we would bust our humps to make you happy? That's why we are among the top-rated gun shop in the Oklahoma City area. Come see us so we can help you get into the right firearm to protect yourself and your family in this unstable world. Did I also mention Cops Gun Shop is Oklahoma's largest dealer for Arrow Precision? We probably got more in stock than Arrow Precision does at the moment. By the way, all in-stock AR-15 and AR-10 uppers are on sale at 10% off. We've still got AR-15 starting at $499.
We are open from 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and then 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Come see us at 416 Hudeberg Circle or on the interweb at copsgunshop.net. Cops Gun Shop. Live safe, live smart, and the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy or gal with a gun. And the world is always a better place with a gun in your hand.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma proclaiming freedom. With 100,000 watts of power, we're the new Freedom 96.9. Talking about things that matter to you, your community, and Oklahoma. The Jake Merrick Show, the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this show. If you missed any of the previous conversation or headlines or Warrior Wednesday, check it out on the Freedom 96.9 website. It's freedom969.com. Download the Freedom 96.9 app and listen to it wherever you go. Hey, I appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going to do it again tomorrow right here on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
The Jake Merrick Show is a product of Freedom 96.9. All content is the property of Champlin Broadcasting. Any use of the broadcast without consent is prohibited. Waking up, waking up.